and just in terms of our timelines, actually what we're going to do is deal with all the B-list amendments that's been circulated. Of course, there must be still be the integration of these amendments into the original bill, but we will do that when we come back in August to give them enough time to do the necessary, you know, quality control measures and ensure that everything, you know, is in order. Right, so members, we will, without further ado, give the drafting team Brigadier van der Walt, and we will then move clause by clause. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. These amendments that appear in the draft A list will have to be compared with the original bill that was introduced, because this combines both the B bill changes and the new ones. So the proposed amendments, firstly the arrangement of sections on page 3 on line 33 after 16 to omit power of minister to declare critical infrastructure and determine critical infrastructure complex and to substitute requirements for declaration of infrastructure as critical infrastructure. These are just the names of the sections in the arrangement of sections. Chair, with your permission, I'm going to move to clause 1. Clause 1 on page 4 on line 28, there is a technical reference change from section 24 to 21. On page 4 on line 31, also section 16.3 to substitute with section 21C. On page 4 after line 38, the insertion of the definition of government infrastructure for the purposes of the sections mentioned there. And it means infrastructure controlled, owned, occupied or possessed by a government department in the national sphere and in respect of whose operation or administration that department is responsible. And the members will recall that we discussed clause 18 in that regard. On page 5, line 2, after water, to insert but excludes any information infrastructure as contemplated in any legislation on cybersecurity, and that is, of course, the definition of infrastructure. On page 5, after line 6, to insert a new definition, national security, which has the meaning ascribed to it in section 198 of the Constitution. On the same page, on line 13, after any other person, to insert whether by way of a public-private partnership or similar agreement, which encapsulates the Gautrain and ESCOM submissions. On page 5, line 20, after post, to insert and person in control of an infrastructure shall be construed accordingly. That is also a technical change to let the definition make more sense. On page 5, after line 23, there is an insertion of the definition of CIRA, the Private Security Industry Regulatory Authority, established in terms of Section 2.1 of the Private Security Industry Regulation Act 2001, Act Number 56 of 2001. On page 5 on line 29, also just a consequential change. On page 5 on line 60, after pertaining, to insert security measures applicable to, that is also just to make more sense of the sentence. On page 6, from line 1 to omit legislation and to substitute Act of Parliament.
Thank you, Brigadier. Maybe if we can just go back to clause 1, if we can get the proposal for the adoption of those amendments.
Sorry.
Yeah. Honourable Markey, seconder. Thank you very much. Any objections? The clause is carried. Thank you. You can go to clause 2.
Thank you, Chair. On clause 2, those two insertions there to just to clear up the sentences pertaining, after pertaining to insert security measures applicable to. And on page 6 from line 1, to omit legislation and to substitute Act of Parliament.
Thank you very much, Brigadier. Can we get in a proposal? Thank you, Honourable Markey. Seconder, thank you, Honourable Wula. Any objections? It's carried. Thank you. Clause 4.
clause 4 on page 6 from line 39 to substitute for clause 4 the following clause. 4.1, a critical infrastructure council is hereby established. The minister appoints members of the critical infrastructure council, which must consist of the following persons: A, the secretary for the police service; B, an official at the level of at least chief director or an equivalent level, designated by each of the heads of the following institutions: Department of Defense, Department of Home Affairs, Department of Public Works, National Disaster Management Center, South African Local Government Association, South African Police Service, and the State Security Agency; and C, 5 members appointed in terms of Section 8 from the private sector and civil society, who are 1, not disqualified in terms of Section 5, and 2, preferably appropriately qualified, knowledgeable, and experienced in fields that include critical infrastructure protection, risk management, disaster management, or basic public services. Subclause 3, the members of the council must, when viewed collectively, preferably be persons who are suited to serve in the council by virtue of their qualifications, expertise, and experience in fields that include infrastructure protection, engineering, disaster management, or security policy. 4, in the event that A, the functions or functioning of infrastructure that forms the subject of an application for declaration as critical infrastructure may affect or be affected by the functional area of responsibility of a government department or an organ of state not referred to in subsection 2B, my apologies, the chairperson may request the head of that government department or the head of that organ of state to designate an appropriately qualified official to assist with such application, or B, the council is of the opinion that any other person could assist in general or with a specific application for declaration as critical infrastructure, the council may request the minister to appoint such person on an ad hoc basis to advise or assist the council. 5, the minister must appoint A, officials referred to in subsection 2B, after consultation with a cabinet member responsible for the institution in question; B, members referred to in subsection 2C in terms of subsection 8; and C, persons referred to in subsection 4B on advice of the council. 6, in the event that it's necessary to appoint a member referred to in subsection 2C, the minister must request the National Assembly to submit a list of candidates for appointment. Seven, the speaker must refer the matter to the relevant committee of the National Assembly to A, publish a notice in the Gazette and in at least 2 national newspapers circulating in the Republic, inviting applications from interested persons and members of the public to nominate persons; B, compile a shortlist of not less than 20 persons who are not disqualified in terms of Section 5A, C, D, E, or F from the applications and nominations referred to in paragraph A, or persons serving on the council who qualify for a further appointment in terms of subsection 10. C, submit the list referred to in paragraph B to the State Security Agency for consideration and issuing of a top secret security clearance. D, conduct interviews with the persons referred to in paragraph B who are not disqualified in terms of Section 5B for purposes of compiling a list of 10 recommended candidates in order of preference. E, submit the list of names referred to in paragraph D to the National Assembly for approval. And F, submit the approved list of names contemplated in paragraph E together with the resumes to the minister. 8, the minister must appoint 5 members to the council from the list referred to in subsection 7F and publish the names of the members in the Gazette. 9, subject to subsection 12, a member of the council appointed in terms of subsection 8 holds office for a period not exceeding 5 years. 10, upon the expiry of an appointed member's first term of office as contemplated in subsection 9, the member may be reappointed for 1 further term only. 11, the secretary for the police service is the chairperson of the council, and the minister must designate from the persons contemplated in subsection 2C a member as deputy chairperson. 12. A member of the council appointed in terms of subsection 8 must vacate office if that member A. resigns by giving at least 30 days written notice addressed to the minister, or B. is removed from office by the minister as contemplated in subsection 14. 13. If a member of the council appointed in terms of subsection 8 resigns or vacates office before the expiry of his or her period of office, the minister must request the National Assembly to follow the procedure in subsection 7, provided that the minister may appoint a new member from the list contemplated in subsection 7D, where candidates on that list are still available for appointment. 14. The minister may, after the process by the National Assembly, by the National Assembly, remove a member of the council appointed in terms of subsection 8 from office on account of A. absence from 3 consecutive meetings without good cause, B. misconduct, incapacity or incompetence, C. becoming disqualified as contemplated in section 5, or D. any other lawful reason. 15. The minister may suspend a member where there are reasonable grounds to do so until the process contemplated in subsection 14 is finalized. 16. The minister may request a cabinet member responsible for an institution which is represented on the council as contemplated in subsection 2B to nominate another representative for appointment to substitute the institution's representative in the council. 17. Members of the council who are appointed in terms of subsection 8 may be paid such remuneration and allowances as the minister may, with the written concurrence of the Minister of Finance, determine. 18. The deputy chairperson referred to in subsection 11 must, when the chairperson is absent or unable to perform his or her duties, act in his or her stead, and when so acting, exercise or perform any function of the chairperson.
Thank you. In this subsection, what, 13, clause 13, National Assembly, of course, must just, there's many space to be included. Right, can we get a proposal for the adoption of the clause? Thank you, Honourable Marker. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. We move to clause 5. Brigadier.
Thank you, Chair. Clause 5, on page 8 from line 17, to omit section 43C and to substitute section 42B and C. On page 8 on line 25, after infrastructure to omit or, on page 8 from line 26, to omit paragraph F and to insert the following paragraph: F has been removed from an office of trust, or G is by virtue of any law, other law, disqualified from being appointed.
Brigadier, can we get a proposal? Make a remark, seconder. Thank you. No objections, thank you. Can we move to clause 6?
Thank you, Chair. Clause 6 on page 8 from line 28. To substitute for clause 6 the following clause 6: the expenses incurred in connection with the exercise of powers, the carrying out of the duties and the performance of the functions of the Critical Infrastructure Council, including the remuneration and expenses contemplated in section 417, must be defrayed from the budget allocation of the Civilian Secretariat for the Police Service established in terms of section 4.1 of the Civilian Secretariat for Police Service Act 2011, Act No. 2 of 2011, as voted in terms of the Annual Division of Revenue Act. That's clause 6. Thank you, Chair. On page 8 from line 35, to substitute for clause 7 the following clause 7. 1. functions of the Critical Infrastructure Council are to A, subject to subsection 2, consider any application for declaration of infrastructure as critical infrastructure referred to in chapter 3 and make recommendations on such applications to the minister. B, subject to subsection 3, approve guidelines regarding 1. The assessment of an application contemplated in section 16, 2. The implementation of the prescribed system for categorization of critical infrastructure in a low-risk, medium-risk or high-risk category, referred to in sections 19.1b and 21b. 3. Policies, protocols and standards regarding any matter necessary to achieve the purpose of this act. And 4. The promotion of public-private sector cooperation in the protection of critical infrastructure, and C, perform any other functions which may be assigned to the council by the minister. 2. When making a recommendation to the minister on an application referred to in subsection 1A, the council must consider the following before making such a recommendation. A, once again, it's just the formatting of the document, honourable members, that's not perfect, but that will be made correct. A, the requirements referred to in subsection 16.1. B, any factor contemplated in sections 16.1 and 18.1. C, any report or submission that must accompany this such application. D, an appropriate risk categorization of the infrastructure in question in accordance with the prescribed system of categorization referred to in sections 19.1b and 21b, and E, any conditions for such declaration as contemplated in section 21 sub 1c. 3. When approving guidelines referred to in section 1b, the Council must consider the following. A, any submission by the National Commissioner as contemplated in section 9.2. B, any relevant submission by any other person having an interest in the protection of critical infrastructure. C, any budgetary implications related to critical infrastructure protection. D, any other matter that may promote the purpose of this Act or affect the implementation thereof. 4. The guidelines referred to in subsection 1b must include guidelines regarding A, the identification and management of risks relating to critical infrastructure, B, the establishment and maintenance of a legitimate, effective and transparent process for identifying and declaring infrastructure as critical infrastructure, and C, the procedures to coordinate the functions and activities of government departments and the private sector insofar as those functions and activities are performed to achieve the purpose of this Act. 5. In addition to any function contemplated in this section, the Council may A, advise the Minister on evaluation, monitoring and reviewing of the implementation of policy, protocol, standards and legislation related to the protection of critical infrastructure, and B, make recommendations to the minister on any function of the minister contemplated in section 22 or section 23. 6. The council must submit a report to the minister within 3 months after the end of each financial year regarding A, the activities of the council during the preceding financial year, B, particulars pertaining to the number of declarations as critical infrastructure, including the names of the critical infrastructure, C, particulars pertaining to any decision by the Council to depart from publication of the notice contemplated in section 17.8b, D, particulars pertaining to any limitations or revocation as critical infrastructure, E, the level and extent of public-private sector cooperation, and F, any other matter that may impact on the protection of critical infrastructure or the functioning of the council.
Members, can we get a proposal for clause 7? Yes, you're welcome, Honourable Bailey.
Sorry, Chair, it's possibly a minor matter, but it was a question. Can I just get clarity again as to why clause 7, well, yeah, sub clause Yeah, subclause 2B makes reference to 18.1 as opposed to just 16.1, because I'm not sure how 18.1 relates to the council's recommendation making process. Because 18.1 is about the national commissioner advising provincial and local heads and applying on behalf of national departments. Yeah.
Billy, we'll just give the drafting team opportunity.
Thank you, Chair. I think the honourable member is quite correct that reference should come out. The reference to 18.1 should come out.
Thank you for that, honourable Billy. Members, then can we put then again clause 6 as amended?
Seven.
Yes. Thank you, Honourable Mula. Thank you, Honourable Marke. Any dissent? No dissent? Carried. Thank you. You can continue.
Thank you, Chair. Clause 8. Yeah, sorry, Chair, I think you didn't vote yet on clause 7, if I'm not mistaken. Clause 8 on page 9 from line 26, to substitute for clause 8, the following clause 8, the Critical Infrastructure Council must meet at least quarterly. 2, the Secretary for the Police Service must ensure that secretarial services are provided to the Critical Infrastructure Council. 3, the chairperson may at any time convene a special meeting of the council and must also convene such a meeting at the written request of the minister. 4, if at least 3 members of the council request a special meeting in writing, the chairperson must convene such a meeting within 7 days after receiving the request. 5, 7 members of the council, which must include the chairperson or deputy chairperson, will constitute a quorum at any meeting of the council. 6, decisions of the council must be taken by majority of votes, and in the case of an equality of votes, the chairperson has a casting vote in addition to his or her deliberate vote.
Thank you. Let's put clause 8. Chairperson, clause 8.5. So if the chairperson and the deputy are not present, no meeting can continue. Is that what it means?
Let's give the drafting team opportunity to respond.
Chair, yes, that is in fact the case.
Happy, can we get a proposal? Thank you, Honourable Marky, seconder. Thank you, Honourable Mula. Any opposing view? Carried. Thank you very much. Let's go to clause 9.
Thank you, Chief. Clause 9 on page 9 from line 36, to substitute for clause 9, the following clause 9, the National Commissioner must A, establish and maintain the administrative systems and procedures necessary for the implementation and the enforcement of this Act. B, support the Critical Infrastructure Council and the Ministry in the administration of this Act. And C, effect cooperation between the South African Police Service, other organs of state and the private sector insofar as it relates to the protection of critical infrastructure. 2, the functions of the National Commissioner are to develop uniform standards, guidelines and protocols for approval by the Council regarding A, the manner in which 1, infrastructure must be identified, categorized and declared critical infrastructure. 2, any physical security assessment of critical infrastructure and potential critical infrastructure is conducted and coordinated between government departments. 3, information which may be relevant to critical infrastructure protection is shared between the relevant stakeholders. Or 4, any prescribed committee or forum must function and report. And B, structures and mechanisms to facilitate coordination in and management of the protection of critical infrastructure. 3, the National Commissioner must A, consider an application from a person in control of an infrastructure for declaring that infrastructure as critical infrastructure, B, conduct or facilitate any physical security assessment of critical infrastructure or potential critical infrastructure, C, make recommendations to the Council on the declaration and risk categorization of such critical infrastructure or potential critical infrastructure, D, evaluate, monitor and review the application and operational effectiveness of policy guidelines or legislation related to the protection of critical infrastructure and advise the Council accordingly. E, evaluate and review physical security assessments, resilience reports and any designation as critical infrastructure and advise the Council accordingly. F, consider any draft of a prescribed security policy or plan submitted to his or her office. G, issue directives regarding the procedures to be followed at the meetings of any prescribed committee or forum. And H, compile and submit quarterly reports to the Council which must at least include 1, particulars of the related activities of the South African Police Service during the preceding quarter, 2, particulars of the number of applications for declaration of infrastructure as critical infrastructure, 3, particulars of the level and extent of government department participation in the functioning of the committee or forum, and 4, the level and extent of public-private sector cooperation in the functioning of the committee or forum. 4, the National Commissioner may, in the prescribed manner, apply for the declaration of government infrastructure as critical infrastructure.
Thank you. Dr. Kines?
D, 3D, that says evaluate, monitor and review the application and operational effectiveness of policy, guidelines or legislation related to protection of critical infrastructure and advise the Council accordingly. Now in the Act it says evaluate, monitor and review the application and operational effectiveness of policy and legislation. So the insertion of the word guidelines in that clause, Chair. Just raising it.
Yes, Chair, the subclause that is in the document and before the members is actually a replacement of the entire subclause in the original bill.
That clarification, members, can you put clause 9? Thank you very much, honourable members. Seconder, thank you. Yes, you're welcome.
Chairperson, thank you. I've just seen the word in so far. I don't know if it goes along the effect on cooperation between South African Police Service, other organs of state and private sector in so far. It's one word. I don't know. It's supposed to be in that way.
Thank you very much for raising that. Insofar, is that one word or is there any spaces?
Sorry, Chairperson, I'm a bit lost. I didn't...
The word insofar, there under C, 9C. Just the language status of insofar. Is it one word? Is it correct as well? Can you just get an indication?
Thank you. Chair, apparently it is one word.
Mm-hmm.
Memorizing that. Right. Can we then put clause 9? Thank you, Honourable. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Any dissenting voices? Carried. Let's go to clause 10.
Chair, in so far as clause 10 is concerned, 1, on page 10 on line 46, after police officials insert who are in possession of an appropriate security clearance certificate.
We put clause 10. Can we get support for that, Honourable Moura? Thank you, Honourable Marker. Any dissenting voices? The clause is carried. Let's go to clause 11.
Clause 11, on page 11, on line 2, after physical security, to insert assessment. on page 11 on line 2 to omit section 18 and to substitute with section 17.5c Roman 1 or any subsequent physical security assessment. On page 12 from line 10 to omit subsection 7 or the numeral 7 and to substitute the numeral 8. On page 12 from line 15 to insert a new subclause 10. An inspector prior to exercising any power in terms of this chapter must identify himself or herself to the person in control or the security manager of the critical infrastructure in question and must produce the certificate issued by the National Commissioner referred to in section 10.2.
Thank you, Brigadier. Can we put clause 11? Thank you, Honourable Markey. Thank you, Honourable Member. Any dissenting voices? Clause is carried. Clause 12, Brigadier.
Thank you, Chair. Clause 12 on page 12 on line 48. After advice to insert or assistance, page 12 from line 25, to substitute for subclause 4, the following subclause 4, the National Commissioner must designate a police official who is a member of a committee or working group as chairperson thereof. 3. On page 12, on line 29, after advice to insert or assistance, on page 12, from line 41, to omit national critical information infrastructure and to substitute information infrastructure.
Thank you, Brigadier. Can we get a proposal? Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Seconder, thank you. Any dissenting voices? Clause 12 is carried. Clause 13, Brigadier.
On page 12 still, from line 44 to substitute for clause 13, the following clause, 13.1, the restrictions on entry contemplated in section 25.2 do not apply in respect of a member of the security services established in terms of section 199 of the Constitution, who is required in the performance of his or her functions and the carrying out of his or her duties to enter any critical infrastructure. The numeral 5 there on the document is just a problem with the formatting chair, and that will be removed during formatting or proper formatting of the document. Subclause 2, section 25.2 must not be interpreted so as to restrict powers of entry assigned by law on any functionary in the employ of an organ of state. Similarly, with subclause 3, the numeral 5 will be removed as it is a formatting issue. 3, any member or functionary referred to in subsections 1 or 2 must produce proof of his or her appointment and identity to the satisfaction of the person in control of the critical infrastructure or an approved security manager, an appointed security manager, rather. My apologies.
Thank you, Brigadier. The amended clause 13. Honourable Markey, you want to raise a point?
Yeah, just clarification. Does it mean that 25.2, I didn't check 25.2, does it mean that when you say so as to restrict powers of entry assigned by law, does that mean the person is vetted, has got the right to, does it mean all of those things?
Yes, it does, but the intention of that subclause is that, if I may use an example, inspectors, health inspectors or inspectors from the National Nuclear Regulator and similar people who have, in terms of legislation, powers of entry to go and inspect whatever they inspect in terms of that law.
Proposal for adoption. Thank you very much. Seconder. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Any dissenting voice? Clause 13 as amended is carried. Clause 14, Brigadier.
Thank you, Chair. Clause 14 on page 12, line 54, after the word sections, to insert 11. On page 12, on line 55, after sections, to omit 4, 11, 16, 19, 20, and 21. and to substitute with 4, 14 to 15 and 20.
Honourable members, can we get the proposal? Thank you very much. Seconder, thank you very much. Any dissenting voices? Clause 14 is carried. Let's go to clause 15.
Clause 15 on page 13, from line 27, to omit an annual and to insert a biannual. Still on page 13, from line 39, to omit 7G and to insert 7-6.
Thank you very much, Brigadier. Members, can we get a proposal? Thank you very much. Seconder, thank you very much. Any dissenting voices? Clause 15 is carried. Let's move to clause 16.
Clause 16 on page 13 from line 35, to substitute clause 16 with the following clause 16. Requirements for declaration of infrastructure as critical infrastructure, 16.1. Infrastructure qualifies for declaration as critical infrastructure if, A, the functioning of such infrastructure is essential for the economy, national security, public safety, and the continuous provision of basic public services, and B, the loss, damage, disruption, or immobilization of such infrastructure may severely prejudice the functioning or stability of the Republic, the public interest with regard to safety and the maintenance of law and order, and three, national security. Subclause 2, in determining whether the qualifying requirements contemplated in subsection 1 are met, one or more of the following criteria must be applied. A, the infrastructure must be of significant economic, public, social, or strategic importance. B, the Republic's ability to function, deliver basic public services, or maintain law and order may be affected if a service rendered by the infrastructure is interrupted or if the infrastructure is destroyed, disrupted, degraded, or caused to fail. C, interruption of a service rendered by the infrastructure or the destruction, disruption, degradation, or failure of such infrastructure will have a significant effect on the environment, the health or safety of the public, or any segment of the public, or any other infrastructure that may negatively affect the functions and functioning of the infrastructure in question. D, there are reasonable grounds to believe that the declaration as critical infrastructure will not have a significantly negative effect on the interests of the public. E, the declaration as critical infrastructure is in pursuance of an obligation under any binding international law or international instrument, and if any other criteria which may from time to time be determined by the Minister by notice in the Gazette after consultation with the Critical Infrastructure Council.
Thank you, Brigadier. Honourable members, can we get the proposal? Thank you. Seconder, thank you. Any dissenting voices? The clause is carried. Let's go to clause 17. Brigadier.
On page 14 from line 13 to substitute clause 17 with the following clause. Application for declaration as critical infrastructure and critical infrastructure complex by person in control of infrastructure. 17.1. A person in control of infrastructure may, in the prescribed manner and format, lodge with the National Commissioner an application to have such infrastructure declared as critical infrastructure in terms of this chapter. 2. An application for declaration of infrastructure as critical infrastructure must contain the following information. A. The sector in which the primary functions of such an infrastructure take place. B. The resources available to the person in control of the infrastructure to 1. Safeguard such an infrastructure against destruction, disruption, failure, or degradation. 2. Repair or replace such infrastructure, including its equipment, materials, or service. Or 3. Ensure that the infrastructure recovers from any destruction, disruption, failure, or degradation. C. The effects or the risk of a destruction, disruption, failure, or degradation of such an infrastructure on 1. The environment, 2, the health or safety of the public or any segment of the public. 3, the Republic's ability to function, deliver basic public services, or maintain law and order. And 4, any other infrastructure that may negatively affect the functions and functioning of the infrastructure in question. D, the size and location of any population at risk. E, historic incidents of threats against the infrastructure. And 2, destruction, failure, or degradation of such infrastructure. F, the level of risk or threats to which such an infrastructure is exposed or potentially exposed. G, special characteristics or attributes of such an infrastructure to deal with any threat contemplated in paragraph F. H, the extent to which the declaration as critical infrastructure will promote the interest of the public. And I, any other information which may from time to time be determined by the minister by notice in the Gazette after consultation with the Critical Infrastructure Council. 3. In the event that a government department or an organ of state has functional control over the sector in which the activities of the infrastructure falls, the application must further contain A. A submission by the head of the government department or head of an organ of state who has functional control over the sector in which the activities of the infrastructure falls to support the application, and B, particulars of any, Roman 1, person other than the applicant who has a right or interest in the infrastructure in question, 2, agreement with the person contemplated in paragraph 1 regarding the application for declaration as critical infrastructure, 3, person other than the applicant who will be responsible for the costs of securing the infrastructure in question, 4, agreement with the person contemplated in subparagraph 3 regarding the costs of securing the infrastructure in question, and C, any other relevant information which is in the opinion of the applicant necessary for the proper consideration of the application. 4, where it appears from the application that the infrastructure contemplated in subsection 1 partly consists of, incorporates, or houses any information infrastructure as contemplated in any legislation on cybersecurity, the National Commissioner must follow the procedure contemplated in section 24. Subject to subsection 6, the National Commissioner must A, upon receipt of an application, publish a notice of the application in the Gazette, 1, stating the name of the applicant and the address of the premises in respect of which the application is made, and 2, inviting interested persons to submit written comments in relation to the application. B, within 30 days of receipt of an application, conduct a physical security assessment of the infrastructure in order to, Roman 1, verify the information in the application, 2, assess the risk category in which such infrastructure or parts thereof may be categorized, 3, confirm whether the physical security measures proposed by the person in control of the infrastructure comply with the prescribed measures and standards for the protection of the infrastructure, 4, provide the person in control of that infrastructure with an opportunity to make written submissions regarding the physical security assessment which is conducted in terms of this subsection, and C, within 60 days after the physical security assessment has been conducted or apologies, the submissions contemplated in paragraph B4 are received, whichever occurs last, submit to the Council for consideration 1, the written physical security assessment report together with the application, 2, any comments contemplated in paragraph A2, and 3, any written submissions in terms of paragraph B4. 6. In the event that the applicant shows good cause why the procedure in subsection 5A should not be followed, the National Commissioner must refer the request to the Council, who may dispense with the publication as referred to in subsection 5A after considering the factors in subsection 7. 7. For the purposes of subsections 5 and 6, the applicant must show that a departure from the procedure in subsection 5A is reasonable and justifiable in the circumstances, taking into account all relevant factors, including A, the objects of declaration as critical infrastructure, B, the nature, purpose, and likely effect of the declaration as critical infrastructure, C, the nature and extent of the departure from subsection 5A, D, the relation between the departure and its purpose, E, the importance of the purpose of the departure, and F, the need to promote an efficient administration and good governance. 8. In the event that the Council decides that the process contemplated in subsection 5A A must be followed, the Council must direct the National Commissioner to publish the notice contemplated in subsection 5A with directions on the information that must be contained in the notice, whereafter the National Commissioner will deal with the application, or B, may be departed from. The Council must direct the National Commissioner to depart from the provisions of subsection 5A and proceed to deal with the application. 9. The National Commissioner may request the head of a government department, which is a security service established under section 199 of the Constitution, to designate a suitably experienced member of that security service to assist with the physical security assessment contemplated in subsection 5B when required. 10. If the infrastructure relevant to the application consists of multiple structures, services, or facilities, the person in control of those infrastructures must apply for declaration in respect of all such infrastructure as critical infrastructure. 11. Where the National Commissioner is unable to comply with any of the time frames contemplated in subsection 5, the National Commissioner must, in writing, apply to the Council in the prescribed form and manner for an extension not exceeding 30 days or such other period as the Council may determine. 12. When an extension of time is granted as contemplated in subsection 11, the Council must inform the applicant referred to in subsection 1 in writing of such extension.
Thank you, Honourable Members. We've dealt with Clause 17. Can we get a proposal?
Chairperson, just to
clarify.
I think this is what we dealt with earlier on. But just to clarify, where does the National Commissioner have to get direction from the Council, or can he do it himself? For instance, if he wants to depart from, is it 5A? Must he of necessity be directed by the Council?
Chair, the National Commissioner will be directed there and must follow the directions of the Council. He doesn't have any discretion on the information, firstly the departure from the 5A, but secondly also he doesn't have any discretion on the information that must be published in the Gazette or that will not be published in the Gazette.
Can we get a proposal? Thank you, Margaret. And on the right, any dissenting voice? Thank you very much. Can we move to Clause 18 on page 16? We're making progress, Honourable Members.
On page 14, from line 46, to substitute Clause 18 with the following clause: application for declaration as critical infrastructure and critical infrastructure complex by National Commissioner. 18.1. Where the National Commissioner identifies for possible declaration as critical infrastructure A, infrastructure under the control of or occupied by a local or provincial government department, he or she must advise the relevant head of the department in the province. Actually, this doesn't reflect the correct version, chairperson, it must be the municipal manager.
Again, 18.
The reference is 18.1A, and it must read that he or she must advise the relevant municipal manager. Relevant head. So if I can read through it again, Chair. Infrastructure under the control of or occupied by a local or provincial government department, he or she must advise the relevant municipal manager or the relevant head of the department in the province to lodge an application in terms of Section 17. And B, government infrastructure, he or she must lodge an application in accordance with subsection 2. Where the National Commissioner makes an application for the declaration of government infrastructure as critical infrastructure, the application must, subject to subsection 3, be made in the prescribed form and manner and submitted to the Critical Infrastructure Council for consideration. 3. Before the National Commissioner makes an application referred to in subsection 1B, the National Commissioner must notify the relevant head of a government department, who is the person in control of the infrastructure, in the prescribed form and manner of the intention of the National Commissioner. B. Afford the person referred to in paragraph A an opportunity to submit written representations within 60 days on any aspect relating to the intended application. C. Consider the representations referred to in paragraph B, and D, within 7 days of taking a decision on whether or not to proceed with the application, notify the person referred to in paragraph A in writing of such decision and his or her reasons. 4. In the event that the National Commissioner decides to proceed with the application, he or she must ensure that the written representations referred to in subsection 3B as well as his or her written reasons referred to in subsection 3D forms part of the application that is submitted to the council.
The clause 18, let me get a proposal. Thank you very much. Seconder, thank you very much. Any dissenting voices? Thank you. It's carried. Clause 19.
Clause 19.
Yeah, I mean, if you want, we've got a reader here as well, and maybe Advocate Bell is also urging to come to the table. So
No, I'm still fine. Thank you very much, Chair.
The bench will come up in the second half with a penalty shootout.
With regards to Clause 19, on page 15 from line 42, to substitute Clause 19 with the following clause. Consideration of application for declaration as critical infrastructure by the Critical Infrastructure Council. 19.1. Upon receiving an application for declaration of infrastructure as critical infrastructure, the Critical Infrastructure Council must A. apply the criteria referred to in Section 16.2 in order to determine whether such an application demonstrates that the infrastructure in question qualifies under Section 16.1 for declaration as critical infrastructure. B. Consider the potential risk category of such an infrastructure, taking into account Roman 1, the prescribed system of categorizing infrastructure in a low risk, medium risk, or high risk category. 2. The probability of failure, disruption, or destruction of the infrastructure in question, or threat thereof. And 3. The impact and consequence of failure, disruption, or destruction of the infrastructure or threat thereof. C. Consider the extent to which the declaration as critical infrastructure will promote the interests of the public. D. Consider any prescribed guidelines for the identification and declaration of infrastructure as critical infrastructure. And E. Take into account any other criteria contemplated in Section 16.2F. 2. the Critical Infrastructure Council must, after performing the functions in subsection 1, make recommendations to the Minister on A, whether or not the infrastructure in question qualifies to be declared as critical infrastructure, and B, an appropriate risk categorization for the infrastructure. 3, before the Council makes a recommendation to the Minister to declare or not to declare the infrastructure as critical infrastructure, the Council must A, notify the person in control of that critical infrastructure of such intended recommendation and the reasons for such recommendation, and B, afford the person in control of that infrastructure a period of no less than 30 days to make representations. 4, the Council must consider any representations received in terms of subsection 3 before making a recommendation to the Minister on whether or not to declare the infrastructure as critical infrastructure. 5, subject to subsection 3, the Council must within 7 days of its last meeting submit the application and its recommendations to the Minister for a decision within 30 days of receipt thereof. 6, where the Council is unable to comply with the timelines as contemplated in subsection 5, the Council must, in writing, request the Minister for an extension, not exceeding 30 days, or such other period as the Minister may determine. And once again, there's just one issue that must be corrected there, Chair, and it's subclause 7, that 3 must change into a 7, where an extension of time is granted as contemplated in subsection 6, the Council must inform the applicant referred to in section 17.1 in writing of such extension.
Members, that is clause 19. Can we get a proposal? Thank you, seconder. Any dissenting views? The clause is carried. Let's go to clause 20.
Clause 20 is on page 16 from line 2, and it, to substitute clause 20 with the following clause. Powers of the Minister to declare infrastructure as critical infrastructure, 21. Subject to subsection 2, the Minister may, on recommendation of the Critical Infrastructure Council, declare infrastructure as critical infrastructure after considering 1. Whether the application complies with requirements contemplated in section 16.1, 2. The recommendation of the Critical Infrastructure Council, and 3. Any other information which the Minister deems reasonable and appropriate. B. Categorize critical infrastructure or certain parts of such critical infrastructure that is declared in terms of paragraph A in either a low risk, medium risk, or high risk category as may be prescribed. C. Where it is necessary to achieve the objects of this Act, determine that critical infrastructure is part of a critical infrastructure complex, and D, impose such conditions as may be prescribed regarding any steps and measures the person in control of the critical infrastructure must implement to safeguard the critical infrastructure in question. 2. The Minister must notify the Council, the National Commissioner, and the person in control of that critical infrastructure of A, the declaration of the infrastructure as critical infrastructure, B, the risk category of such declaration, C, the conditions contemplated in subsection 1D, D, any implications of the Income Tax Act 1962, Act No. 58 of 1962, and E, the period within which the person in control of that infrastructure must take the steps contemplated in section 24.1. 3. When infrastructure has been declared as critical infrastructure, the Minister may, in consultation with the person in control of the infrastructure, taking into account the probability of compromising the security of the critical infrastructure in question, determine that the publication of information regarding some security measures which must be implemented at such critical infrastructure be restricted. 4. The Minister must, in consultation with the Cabinet member responsible for state security, determine the procedure that the National Commissioner and the State Security Agency must follow when dealing with an application contemplated in Section 17(4). 5. Where an application contemplated in Section 17(4) is referred to the Cabinet member responsible for state security, in terms of any legislation on cybersecurity, the Cabinet member responsible for state security must, within 60 days or such further period as agreed upon between the ministers, decide whether the infrastructure in question or any part thereof must be dealt with in terms of any legislation on cybersecurity or not, and inform the minister in writing of the decision. 6. Where the cabinet member responsible for state security decides that an application must not be dealt with in terms of legislation on cybersecurity, the cabinet member responsible for state security must return the application to the minister, whereafter the application must be dealt with in terms of this act.
Thank you, Brigadier. Dr. Kinnis, you wanted to raise one issue with regard to the first line.
Thanks, Chair. Just clause 21, Chair, the powers of the minister to declare infrastructure as critical infrastructure. This is 21, subject to subsection 2, the minister may, on recommendation of the Critical Infrastructure Council. Now, the previous clause, the way it stands, if I just can read it, says the Critical Infrastructure Council must, after considering the report from the National Commissioner and all other facts pertaining to the matter, make a recommendation to the minister. I just want to know, doesn't it sound ambiguous if the minister may, because there's a discretion there which the council did not have. It says the Critical Infrastructure Council must. So I don't know, maybe it's a legal thing though, the way it's phrased. That's all, Chair. I don't want to...
Yeah, thank you, Chair. The reason why the Critical Infrastructure Council must make a recommendation to the minister is simply because that's their function. They have to do it. And if an application gets stuck with a Critical Infrastructure Council, it frustrates and basically negates the whole process. When we get to Clause 21, where the minister has a discretion whether he's going to follow the recommendation of the Critical Infrastructure Council or not, that is typical of the fact that he's the political head of the department administering this. But also, on the other hand, if the minister had no discretion in this, the discretion could have reverted to the Critical Infrastructure Council in any event.
Thank you very much. Can we put Clause 20? Thank you, Honourable Member. Thank you for the second. Any dissenting views? Can we move then to Clause 21?
Thank you, Chair. Clause 21. And once again, I must just apologize for the formatting there. It was done in some haste. On page 16 from line 46, to omit category and to substitute categorization. On page 16 from line 47, to omit the word and. On page 16 from line 49, to omit the full stop and to substitute semicolon and. On page 16, after line 49, to insert the following paragraph D, whether information regarding security measures will be restricted. Then on page 16 still, from line 54, to substitute subclause 4 for the following subclause 4, declaration as critical infrastructure does not exempt a person in control of critical infrastructure from having to comply with the provisions of any other law applicable to the critical infrastructure in question.
Thank you very much. Proposal? Seconder, thank you. No dissenting views carried. Let's go to Clause 22.
Thank you, Chair. Clause 22 only has technical reference amendment on page 17 on line 98 to omit section 24B and to substitute with section 20 1B.
Thank you very much. We put clause 22. Thank you very much, seconder. Any opposing views? The clause is carried. Clause 24.
Clause 24 on page 18, on line 20, to omit section 20 sub 5E and to substitute with section 20 sub 2. On page 18, from line 54, to omit section 18 sub 1 or 19 sub 1 and to substitute with section 17 sub 1 or 18 sub 1B. There's a numbering issue there with a format, but that doesn't influence the context of this chair or the content. That will be corrected. On page 19, on line 6, before security, to insert person in the employ of the critical infrastructure as, close quotes. Still on page 19, on line 23, after must, to insert as far as practically possible. On page 19, after line 25, to insert the following new subclause 9. A person to whom functions are assigned in terms of this chapter must exercise such powers and perform such duties subject to the Constitution and with due regard to the fundamental rights of every person.
Colleagues, can we put clause 24? Honourable Markey, second. Honourable Markey, you want to raise a point. You're welcome.
Yeah, I just to clarify myself here. To omit section 18.1 or 19.1, what does that mean?
Thank you. Brigadier.
Chair, in the original bill, it was reflected as section 18.1 or 19.1. And because of all the amendments, it now becomes section 17.1 or 18.1B. The amendments to 18.1 split that paragraph in two, so it's a B, paragraph B.
Does that cover your concern, Honourable Markey? Can we get then a proposal for adoption? Thank you. Seconder? Thank you, Honourable Markey. Colleagues, we move to clause 25 on page 20.
Thank you, Chair. Clause 25. We are still on page 19. From line 30, after infrastructure, to omit the word and. On page 19, line 33, after the word upon, to insert the phrase entering or. On page 19, from line 34, after subsection 5, to omit the full stop and insert the word and. On page 19, after line 34, to insert the following new paragraph C. C, ensure that the notification as contemplated in paragraph B is placed at the entrance to that critical infrastructure. Still on page 19, on line 52, before the phrase be searched, to insert subject to subsection 6. On page 20, on line 16, after search, the word search, to insert subject to subsection 6. Still on page 20, from line 17, to substitute subclause 6 for the following subclause 6. 6A, any search of a person's body conducted under subsections 2B, 6 or 5 must be carried out by a person of the same gender or as preferred in terms of paragraph D2 with strict regard to the right to privacy and dignity and must be in accordance with the provisions of this section and any other prescribed directive. B, when conducting a search of a person's body under subsections 2B, Roman numeral 6 and 5, the manner of search is restricted to a pat down of the person's outer garments to establish whether that person is in possession or control of a prohibited or dangerous object. C. A search of a person's body under subsections 2B, 6 or 5 may only be performed if 1. A reasonable suspicion exists that such person did not declare a dangerous or prohibited object in his or her possession or under his or her control, and 2. The manner of or place where the search is performed does not infringe upon the privacy and dignity of the person to be searched. D. Before a security manager or a security personnel under the direction of the security manager may search a person referred to in paragraph C1, the person to be searched must be 1. Informed of the gender of the person who will conduct the search, the manner of the search, and the place where the search will be performed, and 2. Provided with an opportunity to express a preference regarding the gender of the member of the security personnel who must conduct the search. Still on page 20 after subsection 2, to omit the word it.
Thank you, Brigadier. Honourable members, clause 35. Thank you, Honourable Markey. Thank you, Seconder. Any opposing views? Right, the members, can we, the clause is carried, and we go to clause 26.
Thank you, Chair. On page 20 from line 29, we substitute clause 26 for the following clause 26. 1. Any person who unlawfully, A, furnishes, disseminates, or publishes in any manner whatsoever information relating to the security measures applicable at or in respect of a critical infrastructure, other than in accordance with the Protected Disclosures Act 2000, Act No. 26 of 2000, Prevention and Combating of Corrupt Activities Act 2004, Act No. 12 of 2004, or any other Act of Parliament that provides for the lawful disclosure of information, B. Takes or records, or causes to take or record an analog or digital photographic image, video or film of the security measures at a critical infrastructure or critical infrastructure complex. C. Hinders, obstructs or disobeys a person in control of a critical infrastructure in taking any steps required or ordered in terms of this act in relation to the security of any critical infrastructure. D. Hinders, obstructs or disobeys any person while performing a function or in doing anything required to be done in terms of this act. E. Enters or gains access to critical infrastructure without the consent of the security manager or person in control of that critical infrastructure. F. Enters or gains access to critical infrastructure in contravention of the notice contemplated in section 24.8. or 25.8. G. Damages, endangers or disrupts a critical infrastructure or threatens the safety or security at the critical infrastructure or part thereof. H. Threatens to damage critical infrastructure, or I. Colludes with or assists another person in the commission, performance or carrying out of an activity referred to in paragraphs A to I. Such a person commits an offence and is subject to subsection 2 and 3, liable on conviction to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 3 years, or to both a fine and imprisonment. 2. For purposes of subsection 1A and subsection 1B, security measures means those security measures at critical infrastructure that are not clearly visible to the public or in the public domain. 3. If the evidence on a charge for any offence in subsection 1A to I proves that the activity referred to was carried out with the intention to cause damage or substantial harm to critical infrastructure, the court may, in the case of critical infrastructure categorised as A, low risk, impose a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 3 years or both, a fine and imprisonment, B, medium risk, impose a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years, or both a fine and imprisonment, or C, high risk, impose a fine and imprisonment for a period not exceeding 7 years, or both a fine and imprisonment. 4, if the evidence on the charge for any offence in subsection 1A to I proves that the activity referred to in fact caused damage, substantial harm or loss of property to the critical infrastructure in question, the court may, in the case of critical infrastructure categorized as low risk, and then once again say the words "a court may" must be deleted there, as was alluded to earlier. So I will read it. Low risk, impose a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 10 years, or both a fine and imprisonment. B. Medium risk, impose a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 15 years, or both a fine and imprisonment. High risk, impose a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 20 years, or both a fine and imprisonment. 5. Any person in control of a critical infrastructure who knowingly furnishes false or incorrect information on an application for declaration as critical infrastructure, refuses or fails to comply with a notice issued in terms of section 11.3 or 11.4, C, refuses or fails to take the steps specified in the notice contemplated in section 24.1, D, refuses or fails to take the steps specified in the notice contemplated in section 24.1 within the period specified in the notice, E, refuses or fails to comply with section 24.8 in circumstances where compliance would not severely threaten the security at the critical infrastructure concerned, or F, refuses or fails to comply with section 25.8. Commits an offence and is liable on conviction to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years, or to both a fine and imprisonment, or in the case of a corporate body as contemplated in section 332 sub 2 of the Criminal Procedure Act 1977, and say the correct reference of the act should also be inserted there. Change is on the screen 10. The Criminal Procedure Act 1977, Act Number 51 of 1977, a fine not exceeding 10 million rand. 6. Whenever a court convicts any person of an offence in terms of this Act, where damage to or loss of property related to critical infrastructure was caused, the prosecutor must direct the attention of the person in control of that critical infrastructure to the provisions of Section 300 of the Criminal Procedure Act 1977, Act Number 51 of 1977, and inform the court accordingly.
Honourable Mbele. Thanks, Chair. Just a question on sub-clause 1, just in terms of consistency, because I do note that in sub-clause 1, the B, B, there's the fulsome statement of critical infrastructure or critical infrastructure complex, but everywhere else it just makes reference to critical infrastructure. I'm not sure if that's necessarily, if we need to add or complex to everyone, or we just keep it as critical infrastructure with the understanding that it covers complex.
In the definition of critical infrastructure, we already make provision for critical infrastructure complex to be included, so I would support the Honourable Member's suggestion that the words "or critical infrastructure complex" be removed there.
Right, thank you. Can we then get the proposal for the amended clause 27? No, the State Legal Advisor wants to come in, please.
I noticed in that in clause 1, the part after paragraph I,
it says subject to subsection 2 and 3. Is the sub 4, the exclusion of sub 4 intentional?
Chair, once again, thank you for the submission of the state law advisor. I think that must read 3 and 4. Sorry, no, it must read 2, 3 and 4.
State law advisor, does that deal with your query? Thank you. Right, thank you very much.
Yeah, Chair, there's just one more issue there. Yes, Chairperson, I was just, as we are going through this, we pick up reference issues, so we apologize for that. Also in subclause 1I, colludes with or assists another person in the commission, performance, or carrying out of an activity referred to in paragraphs A to I, it should actually just be A to H.
Right, can we get a proposal for the amended version of clause 26? Thank you, Honourable Mula. Thank you, Honourable Member. Any opposing views? Clause 26 is carried. We go to clause 27 on page 23.
On page 21, from line 46, to omit section 18.1 or 19.1 and to substitute with 17.1 or 18.1b. Similarly, on line 48, to omit section 18.3a and to substitute with section 17.5a. Similarly, on line 49, reference sections 18.6 or 9 and to substitute with section 17.10 or 19.6. Still on page 21, on line 51, to omit section 19.3a and to substitute with section 18.3a. On page 22, on line 10, to omit 16.2c and to substitute with section 19.1d. Then on page 22, on line 12, of the infrastructure, to insert all parts thereof. On page 22, still on line 13, to omit section 24b and substitute with section 20 sub 1b. On page 22, on line 16, to omit section 24 sub 4c and to substitute with section 20 sub 1d. Still on page 22, on line 22, after security personnel, to insert the phrase comma, including a security manager. On page 22, from line 25, to substitute for paragraph subparagraph 2, the following subparagraph: such standards and training courses as may be determined and recognized by CIRA, that security personnel who render a security service at the critical infrastructure must comply with. Still on page 22, on line 48, to omit notification and to substitute scrutiny. 12, on page 22, from line 51, to omit within 3 months after and to substitute to coincide with.
Brigadier van der Walt. Colleagues, that's clause 29. Can we get a proposal? Thank you very much. Seconder, thank you. Any opposing views? Then clause 27 is carried. Then we come to the last clause of the afternoon. I see the members are unhappy. They want to continue. Clause 30.
fact to, on page 23 on line 15 to omit section 20 sub 4 and to substitute with, with section 20 sub 1. On page 23 on line 16 to omit 60 and to insert 48. On page 23 on line 22 to omit section 20 and to substitute with section 19. On page 23 after line 48 to insert the following subclause 8 and subclause 9. 8. The minister must, by notice in the Gazette and within a period of 60 days after the coming into operation of this Act, publish a list containing the names of national key points or national key point complexes which are deemed to be critical infrastructure in terms of subsection 1. Just in terms of a correction there, there must be a space inserted between the words this and act in the second line of that sub-clause. Then clause 9. The subclause 9, in the event that no legislation on cybersecurity is in operation when this Act comes into operation, the Minister must, in consultation with the Cabinet member responsible for state security, determine interim guidelines on the manner in which an application contemplated in Section 17.4 must be dealt with by any person performing a function in terms of this Act.
Brigadier, members, anything on clause 30? The amended clause 30? Can we get the proposal? Thank you, Honourable Bula. Seconder? Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Any opposing views? Clause 30 is carried. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. We've come to the end of our deliberations. We will give now a few days to the drafting team and to Parliament to ensure that we clean out the necessary amendments, the typographical issues, and then to merge it with the main Act and of course main bill, and then also the appropriate committee report will also be finalised. And members, we will then deal with this when we come back later this month or early August. So we'll give then the team enough time to. There's opposing views, but thank you very much. I want to thank all the members for their hard work during this last 2 weeks. Also those other members who also came and assisted the committee, we appreciate that. And also thank you to the officials, the drafting team, the legal advisor from Parliament, the state legal advisor. Thank you very much. Members, this meeting is closed. Thank you.
Okay, come on, banana.
Yes.
Blank line.
I was writing you morning and afternoon. What are you doing? What documents are in there? What is happening?